Hey there, how is it going? This is Screen Secrets, and I am Eric Gibson. So, for this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about Avatar: The Last Airbender. Now, originally, I was actually going to do a Breaking Bad episode, but I just recently watched Avatar, and I'm kind of obsessed with it right now, and I really want to talk about it. So, I'm going to talk about that instead. Now, it is inferior, in my opinion, to Breaking Bad. That's not saying much, okay? Breaking Bad to me is honestly, for me, it's perfect. I don't like calling things perfect, but I can't change anything about Breaking Bad. I seriously can't. So it's really not saying much if I say Avatar isn't as great as Breaking Bad. It's really not. It is an amazing show. And the fact that it was on Nickelodeon is just unbelievable to me. I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, this was on Nick. The same, channel that had Fanboy and Chum Chum. Even SpongeBob. I love SpongeBob, but it's completely different from Avatar. Oh my goodness, it is. And just like how I think Breaking Bad is obviously the best show that I've ever seen, and it's not really even close, Avatar is easily the best cartoon I've ever watched. Like, it's not, and it's not close. It really isn't. But so let's move on and talk about it. I'm going to talk about my favorite character of all time. That doesn't necessarily mean the best character, just my personal favorite character of all time. And he still is one of the best. And that is, you guessed it, Zuko. So I'm going to talk about his character arc. So, spoiler alert, obviously, this is. Big spoilers right here. Seriously, don't listen to this. If you haven't watched the show, go watch the show. I know people like hype it up so much, and a lot of people think, "Oh, it's probably just overhyped." I thought it was overhyped. I want to say that I thought it was overhyped. I went and watched it. Blew me away. Absolutely blew me away. It is a phenomenal show. Phenomenal. And I think it seriously, it deserves to be up there with some of the greatest shows of all time. I seriously do. I thought about it after I watched them, just like this deserves to be up there. It really does. So, seriously, go watch the show. Zuko's arc is absolutely incredible. One of the greatest arcs I've ever seen in anything ever. And please go watch it. Please. I do feel bad. I want to say this. First of all, I know I said I'm gonna go into Zuko, but sorry, I kind of go off on tangents a little bit. I get it does kind of suck that it was on Nickelodeon. Now, before you say, oh well, it's for kids though. Like that's kind of a good thing. And I do agree, like it is nice that kids can watch it too, but that makes adults go, oh well, it's a Nickelodeon show. Screw that. I don't want to watch that. And they miss out on one of the greatest stories ever told. This story, seriously, what I kind of think of Avatar is it's an adult show that kids can watch too. Now, I will say this too, don't watch the first episode and say, oh, it's a kids show, and then turn it off, never watch it again. Don't do that, okay? Because I agree, the first episode is a kids episode. That's what it is. But I promise you, just watch to the end of the first season and the second season. If the first season has hooked you, which I think it will, I definitely think the first season is still really great. The second season will absolutely hook you. I have no doubt about that. None whatsoever. Especially the ending of the second season. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Again, spoilers. So I just want to say, please go watch this show. I don't care that it's a kids show. You shouldn't care either. Okay? You shouldn't either. It's a phenomenal show, one of the best stories I've ever watched, and I implore you to go watch it. All right. So let's get into Zuko. So Zuko going into it, I never knew how developed he gets throughout the show. So it was a complete surprise to me. Thank you, all my friends, everyone who's already watched the show. thank you for not telling me and not spoiling Zuko for me, because I got everything out of it that I was looking for. It is incredible. The other thing too is I want to mention this show actually came out when I was 5, and I'm so glad I watched it now. This is actually my first time watching it. About a month ago I did, and I'm so glad I watched it now, because now I understand everything. Back then I would have never understood it. I wouldn't have gotten it at all, seriously. So now I have watched it. It's fresh in my brain, and I keep looking at it. I'm obsessed with it right now. So let's talk about it. So Zuko, he starts off kind of the typical villain. You kind of think, oh, well, you know, he's kind of stupid. Like, he's just a traditional villain, like you'd see in some stupid, like a Marvel movie or something, like, other than like Thanos, you know what I mean? Like some of the lesser known villains, like the ones I don't even remember the names of, like in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just like Rohan, I think was his name. I don't really care. They were there trying to stop the good guys, and that was it. But no one talks about this. In the third episode, okay, I'm going ahead of myself a little bit. First and second episode, mainly the second episode, Zuko captures Aang, right? Now, Aang, of course, is the Avatar. He's the master of all four elements. So he goes into the Avatar state, and he just decimates the ship that they're on, and they get frozen in the iceberg, and Aang leaves with Sokka and Katara, and they go on, right? They go on their big adventure. And Zuko is left there kind of shocked. And in the third episode, he's talking to Admiral Zhao, of course, the big, like, general guy, you know. He's kind of what I thought Zuko was going to be, honestly. Like, Zhao is probably who I thought Zuko was going to be. So the one thing Zuko said, though, that I think it got into what his character was without giving it away. It kind of made you go, oh, well, maybe he is kind of human. Maybe they are trying to show that he's, you know, has feelings too. Is when he says, I underestimated the Avatar as a 12-year-old kid. I'm never underestimating him again. This can be compared. I'm going to actually do some comparisons to Infinity War in this discussion on Zuko. This can be compared to Thanos. In the world where, you know, Thanos is fighting Tony Stark, and he's fighting Doctor Strange and all of them, he stops for a second after he fought Tony Stark, and he says, you have my respect, Stark. If you die, I hope they remember you. That can be compared to that scene in Infinity War. Zuko saying that he underestimated Aang and he won't do it again. It shows respect. It shows that he's not just one, oh, I'm the best at everything, like a lot of typical, stupid, underdeveloped villains are. No, he completely respects Aang, and he knows it's going to be a difficult task to get him. That's what he said. So I know that that's just one little sentence that he says, but it just shows that he does have some humanity in him. So moving on from that, not a lot of people talk about that, but I like how that's one of the first quotes that he has, kind of showing that, wait, maybe there's a little bit more to him than what we first let on. At first, you don't even think of him as human. Just think, oh, the story needs a villain. Here he is. So a few episodes go by, and, you know, Zuko continues trying to capture Aang and whatnot. And then the episode, The Storm, comes along. And this is a lot of people's favorites because it shows what's really happening here between our two main characters. But I'm going to focus on Zuko, not as much Aang, but more so Zuko, of course. So Iroh is sitting there when the storm is coming. And previously, Zuko said he didn't care about the crew. Now, Iroh said, no, that's not true. He really does. He just said that because he's kind of going crazy right now. And, you know, he's kind of obsessed with capturing the Avatar. And at first you're kind of like, well, is that really true? Or is Iroh just saying that to, you know, get us to like Zuko a little bit more, even though it's not really true. But then you realize, no, it is. Because Iroh talks about Zuko's life. Zuko was a knight. He had humanity in him, especially when he was younger. He always, of course, we'll get to his mother in a little bit back when I start talking about Zuko alone. But for now, his father was just this tyrannical leader that just wanted to dominate the earth, right? And he's sitting there in a meeting room with a bunch of other high ups in the Fire Nation. And one of the generals says, hey, you know what? We could use this group of soldiers. We could use them as bait and then go around and attack the, I believe it was the Earth Kingdom, from the other side. And that's how we could take them out. And Zuko stands up. He says, no, those people, they defend and they love our country. How can we just betray them like that and kill all of them? And then he gets sent to the Agni Kai with no one other than his father. So his father, of course, Fire Lord Ozai, comes up to him and says, you will fight for your honor. And you will learn respect. And suffering will be your teacher. So, of course, Ozai makes Zuko suffer. And that's how he got that big scar. At first, before you think, oh, he just has the scar because he's the villain. But now everything makes sense. Zuko wants to capture the Avatar to get back his, he said it plenty of times before this, honor. But it was more than just that. He wanted his father's love. He wanted his family to go back to the way it was. And deep down, at this point, I think he seriously does know that it would never be like that again. But he's just not willing to come to terms with it. So he wants everything to go back. He wants his father's love. But I think secretly, deep down, he knows it's just not going to happen. He's kind of being ignorant to it. But we'll get to that later. So Zuko, now you know why he has a scar. And now you know everything you need to know about Zuko. Why he's trying to capture the Avatar and all this stuff. Now, throughout the first season, I've already mentioned this. Not every episode, but a lot of episodes have Aang going to some town, a village, or something like that. Zuko chasing him, trying to capture him, and he fails. And he just fails and fails and fails. Even in the finale, Zuko finally captures Aang and takes him to a cave, but there's a blizzard outside, and there's nothing he can do about it, and they can't leave. And then, so, what do you know? Katara and Sokka, they find Aang in the cave with Zuko, and they take down Zuko because it's nighttime, and so Katara is better at waterbending during the nighttime. A lot of technical stuff there that you kind of learn throughout the show, but basically the moon spirit gives the water people their powers, and the sun spirit gives firebenders their power. So, because it's nighttime, Katara just immediately takes down Zuko and they save him from the blizzard, but he goes back to the Northern Water Tribe and then he fights Zhao and then he's forced to go back on his ship and retreat. So it's just him and Iroh now. And at the beginning of the second season, now keep in mind this though. In the first season, over and over and over again, he just continuously tries to capture Aang, and it never works once. That is big, okay? And you kind of think during this time that, oh, well, it's just a kid's show. They have to have the good guys win. I don't know about that. We'll get to that later. But in the beginning of the second season, Zuko and Iroh are all by themselves, and they're kind of wandering around and they come to this village and they find Azula. Now, Azula is Zuko's sister and she was sent by Ozai to go and capture Iroh and Zuko, but they don't really know that. So Azula brings them onto her ship, and one of her commanders, one of her soldiers, accidentally calls Zuko and Iroh prisoners. So she starts to fight them, and Zuko, before this, was like, well, maybe my dad has changed his mind. Maybe I can go back, and he actually does love me, and he's willing to give my honor back and all this stuff. But Iroh sees through it. He knows Ozai. Iroh is Ozai's brother. He knows him. There's no way that he's bringing him back to restore Zuko's honor and love him. He knows that. And sure enough, they were going on Azula's ship to be prisoners. So a big fight happens, and ultimately Azula is tossed off the ship, and Iroh and Zuko fled the scene, but now they are officially banished from the Fire Nation. And so that is what the second season is about. Them being banished. Zuko and Iroh being banished. Of course, the biggest influence on Zuko's life is Uncle Iroh. Great character. Everyone loves Uncle Iroh. Who doesn't love Uncle Iroh? He's a great character. Great. So he's kind of the mentor for Zuko, right? And throughout the second season, they kind of start off. They go to different places. Zuko is the blue spirit again. Forgot to mention this in the first season. Zuko actually, in one instance, he did capture Aang for just a second from the Fire Nation base that Zhao runs. And so Zhao basically captured Aang, and Zuko goes in to get Aang out. So he puts on a mask, the blue spirit mask, and he goes in and he captures Aang and takes him out. But then Zhao has these great archers that he found, and so they fire a bow right at Zuko, and it hits him right in the mask, and he collapses over unconscious. So then later on, Aang, of course, saves Zuko, brings him into a forest, and when Zuko wakes up, Aang asks him if they can be friends. Now Zuko, unfortunately, just shoots fire at Aang, and Aang fleds the scene. So you know that he's still into like wanting to capture the Avatar, but it kind of hints that he's not really in the Fire Nation, right? He's not really supported by them, and he doesn't really associate himself with the majority of the people who try to kill people in the Fire Nation, with all the militant groups within the Fire Nation. So you know that he doesn't really want to associate himself with that. He just wants to be loved by his father. That's ultimately what he wants. So back to the second season, they go to a few villages, and Zuko dons his blue spirit mask again. He does this because they have no money, they have no shelter, they have no place to go. So what else can he do other than steal things from people? So he threatens them and steals food from people with the blue spirit mask on. And so now he's learning what it's like to be a villager, to be not of royalty. That's what he's learning to be, and that's really the theme for him in the second season, and that's shown time and time again. When, at the beginning of the season, he says stuff like, they should be feeding out of our hands. Like, we are royalty. That's who we are, until Zuko alone. Zuko alone shows you that he really isn't a bad person. He just wants love. He wants the family to go back, his family to go back to the way it was before. And it's constantly shown over and over again just how brutal Ozai is to him, and how brutal not only that, but everyone else other than the Fire Nation is to him. So, for example, Zuko alone. One of the most depressing episodes, but also one of the best. Zuko kind of defines the term, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. That's him. But it's for a really great reason in the overall show. Great reason. So Zuko goes to this Earth Kingdom town, and there's these army guys, and they're just complete, just part of my French here, assholes. Like they are just jerks, okay? And they rule over the town a little bit, and all the townspeople there don't like him. So Zuko finds this kid, and he defends the kid. He kind of pranks the kid, pranks the military guys. And then so Zuko says, "No, I don't know who pranked you," when the military guys asked him who did. And so the kid then befriends Zuko and brings him back to his family. And Zuko works a little bit for them and spends the night there just to see what it's like to be in an Earth Kingdom town. He's trying out what his uncle told him, how to be like a villager in the Earth Kingdom, see what it's like. And so he starts working on their hut a little bit, and he goes to sleep, and the kid takes out his sword. Zuko's great with swords, obviously. When you saw the blue spirit, he's great with them. And so he teaches the kid how to use the swords, and then he takes care of him. And then he eventually mentions that he has to leave. And so when he leaves, he gives the kid a knife, right? And on the knife, it says, "Never give up," or something like that. I know it says something like that. So when he leaves, the kid is actually taken by the military guys of the Earth Kingdom, the asshole guys I was talking about. And so his mom, the kid's mom, finds Zuko and tells him, "Hey, you have to go back. All right, you have to go back and get my kid back and defeat these horrible guys. They're just complete jerks." So Zuko goes back and he fights the military guys, and the soldiers are defeated, but he had to use his fire. Of course, before this, he was just using his daggers, but now the last guy was just too tough and he had to use fire to take him down. So he announces that he is actually the Fire Lord's son, Prince Zuko. And he goes and gives the kid his knife back. And the kid just says, "No, I hate you." And Zuko is banished from that town. So even though he saved the kid and he got the knife back that he gave him earlier, that the Earth Kingdom soldiers took, the kid still said that he hated him, showing what the Fire Nation has done to the rest of the world. The fact that that kid hates him, even though he did everything he could to save that kid. That's how bad the Fire Nation is, and Zuko is beginning to realize it. So in the next few episodes, Zuko, Iroh, and Team Avatar actually all get together and they fight Azula. Azula shoots at Iroh and knocks him over unconscious, and Zuko's forced to nurse him back to health. And then when they do, Iroh teaches Zuko a little bit. And when he's teaching him, he doesn't just teach him firebending techniques. He teaches him techniques that were learned from other tribes. And also why the Avatar is most powerful, because he has all the elements at his disposal, not just fire. So what Iroh is trying to do here is trying to show Zuko that, hey, everything, fire isn't the only element. All the elements matter. And he even teaches him a waterbending technique that can be used as a firebending move. Redirecting lightning. Basically, you take the lightning from your hand, you bring it down to your stomach and out the other hand. That's what he said. If you bring it to your chest, then that could possibly kill you, is what he says to Zuko. And they practice it a little bit. And then Zuko asks his uncle, "Hey, why don't you shoot lightning at me and I'll try to redirect it?" And of course, Iroh is like, "I'm not going to do that." That's dangerous. And so Zuko goes out and search for lightning. And he stands up on top of the mountain, and it's a big scene, and it's the most emotional scene in the episode. And it shows that, you know, he says, "You've never held back before." And of course, he's talking about his life. His life has never held back on him. His father banished him. Azula doesn't care for him. No one other than Iroh really cares for him at this point. His mom, I forgot to mention, was, yeah. Zuko had many flashbacks to his mom during Zuko Alone, because he was thinking about her and how nice she was and just how great his life was when they were all a family and before she left him. She left him because of a deal that she had with Ozai, where they would poison. Essentially what it was the Fire Lord Sozin, basically Zuko's grandfather, said that Ozai should kill Zuko because he's just not as good as Azula, and Ozai wasn't at all, empathetic about Iroh's son's death. So Sozin is like, well, if you're not sympathetic about Iroh losing his son, then maybe I should kill Zuko and see how you like it. So originally Zuko was going to die, but Zuko's mom, Ursa, and Ozai made a deal to poison Fire Lord Sozin, but Ursa would have to be banished from the Fire Nation. So she was banished, and they killed Fire Lord Sozin, and Zuko's life was spared because of her. But obviously she left, and so it was Ozai and Azula teaching Zuko, and that is not what Zuko wanted. And quite frankly, I think it's not what many people wanted. But unfortunately, it happened, and that's how his life went. Now that we know this, we know why he's turned bad and why he's so conflicted. He's not really bad, I would say, but he's conflicted. That's what he is. And so now going back to when he was shouting at the lightning, he's really talking about his life, about his life has just constantly just over and over again given him obstacles, but he keeps overcoming them over and over and over again. And that's the one. Zuko is not as good as Azula in terms of firebending. He's not. But what he is better at Azula is his constant never give up attitude. Now, while Azula is definitely never give up, don't get me wrong, she does start to fall a little bit towards the end, and we definitely see that, right? So Zuko wants to be zapped so he can finally show that he can do something, that he can redirect lightning. He wants the storm to give him lightning so he can redirect it, and that's his big emotional scene. And then that's now when he starts to calm down a little bit, when he starts to realize that what the Fire Nation has done is horrible, and these villages still hate him. He constantly is banished from not only the Fire Nation, but towns that he visits. What else can he do? Where can he live? He doesn't know at this point. So now they decide, Iroh and Zuko decide, all right, let's try to get a life. Let's hide that we're firebenders. Let's not use firebending. And let's go to Ba Sing Se. So they go to Ba Sing Se, which is a giant city, many opportunities for them. And Iroh is great at making tea. And so he just says, hey, why don't we work at a tea shop? We can make some money and we can live here. We actually have a home. We have a shelter. Let's do this. So Zuko is okay with it at this point. He's lived homeless for the last few weeks, months, maybe probably months at this point. So he's fine with it. He decides, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go to Ba Sing Se. And then he learns Aang's bison is there. Aang's bison is captured. It's in Ba Sing Se. It's in Lake Laogai. So he decides, hey, you know what? I could capture Aang if I find the bison and I can keep him. And Aang will try to find him and I can capture Aang then. So he goes back to his old ways. He decides, I'm going to capture Aang and get my honor back and get my father's love back. I can get the family we once had back. But Iroh finds him. And Iroh asks him what he really wants. And Zuko decides to release Appa. So Appa flies off, finds Team Avatar. And finally, Team Avatar gets Appa back after a long stint without him, which was very tough for them. So Zuko finally did a good thing. And in the next episode, he's done good things before. You know, he's really not a bad person. He's done good things before. But at this point, this was something that completely went opposite of what he's been doing for the past 3 years while he was banished, which was constantly looking for the Avatar. And now he, all of a sudden, when he has a chance, releases Appa. So the next episode, he gets very sick. What this sickness is Iroh kind of explains it. It's his spirit, the two sides of him starting to flip. He did a great deed that he would have never done earlier. And so now he's starting to get sick. He's starting to puke, cough, all the sick stuff, showing his transformation into a seriously good person, right? So the next episode, after that one, after he was sick, he says, things are finally starting to look up, Uncle, because it's Iroh. Iroh is actually opening up his own tea restaurant, or I guess cafe. And so Zuko's happy to work for him now. He has a big smile on his face. You never see Zuko smile. He has a big smile on his face. It looks like he's finally turned to the light side for real this time. And so later on, Azula basically overtakes the Earth Kingdom and tosses Zuko and Iroh into, or no, sorry, not Iroh, Zuko into basically imprisonment. And there's like crystals everywhere and all this kind of stuff. And Iroh needs help finding him. So Iroh finds Team Avatar, and Iroh, by the way, is not a bad person, of course. He's from the Fire Nation. He used to be a bad person, but he learned from his mistakes and has now become a great person who's willing to help Team Avatar. So he helps him. He brings him back. But here they find Zuko. And Katara was also thrown in the crazy place with all the crystals and everything, imprisoned with Zuko. So they find both of them. But then Azula shows up. And kind of shoots a bunch of, Okay. Azula basically enlists the help of the Dai Li, which are basically secret agents of Ba Sing Se. And so they all put Iroh in kind of a crystal prison. And Zuko tells her, release him right now. But then Azula says, Zuko, I can't do this without you. We have to capture the Avatar together. We have to both go back to the Fire Nation together. You can restore your honor. And Iroh's telling him, no, don't do that. You know what you want. So please don't go with Azula. You don't know what she's talking about. She's just trying to manipulate you, right? And so later, Aang is there too, right? Because he went with Iroh. And Azula, Katara, and Aang are fighting each other. And eventually Zuko goes into the place where they're fighting, fires a ball of fire right in the middle of all three of them. Looks at Azula and looks at Aang. And what does he do? Starts shooting at Aang. When that happened, I could not believe it. I could not believe. I was confused. I was actually confused. I thought that they were like, was that an animation error? I'm so dumb. Why did I think that? No, it wasn't. He chose Azula's side. And starts fighting Aang. Aang gets zapped by Azula, basically killing him. You know, of course he gets revived by Katara with spirit water. But everything goes wrong in that instance. Team Avatar just straight up loses. The whole Earth Kingdom loses. Whole Earth Kingdom was taken over. It's crazy. So Zuko now goes back to the Fire Nation. And his honor is restored. But there's one thing he doesn't have. Love from his father. His father's always been a tyrannical leader. Of course he doesn't love him. Not truly, anyway. So Zuko goes back to the Fire Nation. You can tell he's kind of, you know, a little going crazy right now. He doesn't really seem happy. He goes up over the palace, looks over the palace edge. There's a whole huge crowd of people, and they all cheer for him. But he doesn't smile. He still has that same frown on his face that he always seems to have. Now, Azula told Ozai that Zuko killed Aang. But that wasn't true. As I mentioned, Azula killed Aang. So why did she say that? Because Zuko, she could kind of tell, doesn't really know if Aang is actually dead. Why? Because Zuko saw the spirit water. Katara was originally going to use it on his scar. So Zuko knew about it. And Azula was skeptical of him if Aang was actually dead. So they thought he was. The entire Fire Nation, Ozai thought he was. And Ozai thought it was Zuko who killed him. But of course it wasn't. It was Azula. So now, if the Avatar comes up again, if people find him again, now Ozai is going to punish Zuko instead of Azula. That's how manipulative Azula is. But going back to what I was talking about. So, because of that, Zuko enlists a hitman, combustion guy. He shoots basically an explosion out of his like tattoo eye thing on his forehead. It's kind of weird. I agree, but it's also kind of cool. So I don't know. I don't really care. You know, looks cool. So he enlists that guy basically as a hitman to go kill Aang. So Team Avatar runs into him a few times. Zuko is still in the Fire Nation. And they go to the beach together, okay? It's him, Azula, and two of her friends, Mei and Ty Lee. They go to a party. They kind of hang out. They do teenager stuff. They go on the beach. They play volleyball. They do all that kind of stuff. But at the end, Zuko just still feels empty inside. He's still thinking about Iroh. He's thinking about his betrayal. He's thinking about all that stuff. And Ozai still doesn't seem to love him very much. So, of course, at the end of the episode, he says, "I'm angry at myself," right? And after that, he kind of decides, all right, maybe I picked the wrong choice. But the final nail in the coffin that got him to finally make the switch was Iroh. Iroh was imprisoned, right? There's no way Zuko would have had him killed. So Iroh is imprisoned. And Zuko goes to Iroh, and Iroh tells him to learn of the history of his two grandfathers. It turns out that one of his grandfathers is Fire Lord Sozin, who started the 100 Year War, but his other father, or his other grandfather rather, is Avatar Roku, who of course is the Avatar. He's all about peace and love and wanting to restore balance. So Zuko, this goes on in his mind, and he realizes it's not about family. It's about himself. What does he feel best for himself? So during the Day of Black Sun, he finally does it. He confronts his father, and he tells him, I'm going to join the Avatar to take you down. I'm sick of this. All the people everywhere else hate us, the Fire Nation. Like, we're grown up to think that we're the best people of all time, but we just kill and murder people. And that's just straight up wrong. And he tells his father off. And this is where he finally uses the lightning redirection technique that Iroh taught him. Ozai shoots lightning at him. He takes the lightning in one hand, shoots it out the other, and fires it back at Ozai. And Ozai's taken aback by it. And off goes Zuko to join Team Avatar. So finally, it happened. We had to go through heartbreak. We had to go through him just completely betraying his uncle, who was like the only person who ever loved him. And finally, 10 episodes later, or 11, I think, 11 episodes later, he finally does it. He goes on and he joins Team Avatar to teach Aang firebending. But, of course, after what happened, you know, he keeps trying to capture Aang, all that stuff. And then he goes to Ba Sing Se, and just when Katara thinks, oh, he's changed, now he goes back on his old ways. So, of course, Team Avatar is very skeptical of him, obviously. So Zuko confronts him and he goes, hello, Zuko here. You know, that classic line. But they tell him off. They say, there's no way you're joining us. Go off on your own. We don't care. Don't come back here. Toph is the only one who says, maybe he isn't that bad. Because she can notice that he's not lying. Of course, with her earthbending, she can tell if someone's kind of nervous and whatnot. She can feel the vibration. And she could tell that he really wasn't lying. He was being completely honest. He wants to teach Aang firebending, and he wants to join Team Avatar to help them take down his dad. So Toph goes and confronts Zuko, but Zuko, freaking out, shoots fire at her and hits her foot on accident, hurting Toph. So she crawls away and he screams, why am I so bad at being good? And the other thing he did too, which I should probably mention, is he told them that he sent Combustion Man after him. So that was a big thing. And Combustion Man shows up. So Zuko, and Combustion Man, by the way, caught Team Avatar way off guard. If Zuko wasn't there, they would have probably died. But Zuko confronts Combustion Man. He says, stop, don't do this anymore. You're off. I'll pay you more if you stop. But of course, Combustion Man is just like, no, I'm not going to do that, and pushes Zuko away and starts shooting at him. So Sokka eventually takes down the Combustion Man with his trusty boomerang. He hits him right in the head with it, and something to do with Combustion Man's head being discombobulated, the explosion just blows up right in his face and he falls to his death. And so, yes, while I guess Zuko didn't kill Combustion Man, they would have died if it wasn't for Zuko stopping him. So they are finally able to forgive him, though especially Katara, most of them are still pretty skeptical. And again, like I said, especially Katara, because she tried to heal his scar, and she was the one who ultimately thought that he changed earlier, but he hadn't. And he knows the mistake he made. And so she confronts him at the end of this episode saying, like, hey, if you do anything to hurt Aang, you're going to see 10 times the wrath from me. Okay. So she tells him off a little bit, but Zuko truly has changed this time. He truly has. So he moves on. He teaches Aang firebending. They go see the firebending masters. And he helps out Sokka with rescuing Suki and Hakoda, his dad, from a Fire Nation prison. And he helps Katara get revenge on the person who killed her mother. Now, of course, she doesn't actually get revenge, I know, but he helps her do it. So she's finally willing to forgive him, and everyone else has, and he's finally good. But there's one person who hasn't forgiven him yet. We hadn't seen him since the beginning. I forgot to mention this. Iroh in prison started doing weights and started doing pull-ups in his cell. So he broke out. Originally, Zuko was going to get Iroh from the prison and then he was going to go join Team Avatar. But Iroh escaped. So he wasn't able to do that. That's why he went by himself. So Zuko at this point hasn't even seen Iroh since he betrayed him, since he was locked up in prison. So Zuko finally finds where Iroh is. He's in a tent. And oh my God, I cry every time I even think about this scene. It's, oh man. He goes into the tent. Iroh is sleeping, so he waits a little bit. Iroh wakes up, looks at him, and of course Zuko's like, I'm so sorry for what I did. There's nothing I'm just so sorry. There's nothing more than I want is for to be forgiven from you, Iroh. And so what does Uncle Iroh do? Immediately forgives him and hugs him and tells him, I was afraid you'd lost your way. And then Zuko says, I did. But you found it again. Oh my God. It makes me cry every time I even think about that. But it's a great scene. It puts on the waterworks. Seriously, it's maybe the most emotional scene. There's a few scenes with Iroh that are pretty emotional. But that one was... Oh man. Yep. I definitely cried. I definitely cried during that. So Zuko, finally, for real, on the good side, he... It was able to confront his uncle. His uncle immediately forgives him. Everyone has forgiven him at this point. So now it's all about taking down Azula, his sister. So he devises a plan. Aang's going after the Fire Lord, of course. And Katara and Zuko are going to try to take down Azula. And Zuko will become Fire Lord. So the final Agni Kai happens, and Azula is going crazy at this point, because not only has Zuko left her, but Mei and Ty Lee in earlier episodes have too, back when Zuko and Sokka were trying to rescue Suki and Sokka's dad from the prison. In that episode, Mei and Ty Lee betray Azula. So Azula has no one, not even her father. Her father's gone on to become Phoenix King, or basically King of the World. And she's just there as Fire Lord back at the temple. So she starts going crazy, insane. She looks at herself in the mirror. She sees her mom. Her illusion of her mom tells her that she loves her, but Azula doesn't believe it. So she's just going insane. She cuts her hair in a slanted way and like just looks into the camera like with crazed eyes and everything, because she's just lonely now. She has no one, not even her father anymore. Her father never really loved her. He never really did, and she was on the bad side of it all. So she's just going crazy. So Zuko decides, you know what, Katara, just stay back, that way you don't have to get hurt, and I'll deal with her. She's going insane, she's going a little crazy, or something off about her, so I'm just gonna fight her and hopefully we'll make it out okay. So Azula and Zuko fight in the final Agni Kai, and there's somber music playing in the background, just that, like, the violins, and then, like, every once in a while the little hit of the drum that goes along with how they fire off all their fire, right? They fire off their fire, and it's just a, I don't know, there's just something about that scene that's just, like, so emotional. It's the music in the background, just, it's so, you expect it to be this, like, crazy, like, oh yeah, gonna pump you up, like, battle music, but no, it's just somber music showing how not only has Azula just fallen and just become crazed and over emotional and just, she basically tragic. She's just a tragic character. And not only that, but Zuko, it kind of shows he doesn't really want to hurt her either. They're still family. He still loves her. But with that music in the background, you can tell that he really doesn't want to do this. But he knows he has to, or else she'll be Fire Lord and the rest of the world will still be in shambles. So he takes her on. She plays dirty, tries to shoot lightning at Katara, who's standing behind Zuko. Zuko jumps in the way and gets hit with the lightning. And he does redirect it, but it goes through his chest instead, like what Iroh said could kill him. So he falls on the ground, and Azula starts chasing after Katara now. And finally, Katara lifts water up from a little ditch thing and freezes both of them. She found a chain too, so she wraps it around Azula's hands and ties it to the ground. And then Azula is finally captured. She goes over, she heals Zuko, and Azula is just going insane. Zuko is looking at her. You can tell he's depressed, just saddened to see his sister this way. But finally, Zuko is Fire Lord. He is the Fire Lord. And the comics after the show do go into how not everything was perfect after that, you know. A lot of people actually benefited from Ozai, and now they're mad at Zuko, and he tries to get killed multiple times. But ultimately, Zuko did restore peace, and he ended the 100-year war, and so did Aang. He went on, defeated Ozai, and everything was restored. Now, when it happened in Ba Sing Se, when Zuko betrayed Iroh, I hated it. I thought it was stupid. Like, why would you do that, Zuko? But then I realized something. Okay. In the first season, he tries to go after Aang over and over and over again and constantly fails over and over and over again. In the second season, Zuko has to live as someone who's homeless or someone who's a villager, just a normal citizen in Ba Sing Se, realizing what that life is like. Being humbled by it. So when he betrays Iroh, I realized, no, he needed to do that. Because if he didn't, what would always be in the back of his head is, well, what if I went back to the Fire Nation and my dad actually did love me and Azula loved me and we went back to the family that we once had? That would always be in the back of his head if he didn't betray Iroh then. But because he betrays Iroh, goes back to the Fire Nation, gets his honor back, and gets his life back, he realizes that's not what he wanted. That's not ever what he wanted. And he begins to realize that for himself. That's why he says in the episode, The Beach, I'm angry at myself! Because he is. He knows what he did wasn't what he wanted now. So he had to realize that by going back to the Fire Nation and not having it not live up to his expectations. And that's what ultimately changed him. And that's what led to his big confrontation with his dad and him ultimately joining Team Avatar in one of the best arcs for a character I have ever seen. He is easily my favorite character of all time. I don't even know if it's really close. I would say Walter White. I think Walter White maybe has a better character arc. Not to say Zuko's isn't just amazing, but Breaking Bad is just top tier everything for me. Like, seriously, if I say something, if Breaking Bad is better than something, it really doesn't mean anything. Okay, Zuko is still an amazing character, great character arc, my favorite character because he turns good, whereas Walt turns bad, so obviously I don't really like him very much. But an incredible character in Zuko. It's incredible to me that a show with only 22 minutes per episode and only three seasons, the first two seasons having 20 episodes and the last season having 21, how they managed to put in such a, like, it just feels like it's so long. Like, it takes time developing him until he really is a good person who's willing to run the Fire Nation and not have all this chaos, all this hatred, all this genocide, all this awful stuff. He's a peaceful person now and kind. And he's done capturing the Avatar. He's done with his villainous ways, which I could argue he never really had. I feel always deep down, he knew that that's not really who he was. He never wanted to be a bad person. In fact, the reason he got his scar in the first place was because he was trying to be a good person. He was trying to tell off a general who said that they should just use their soldiers as bait and kill them all so they can take on the Earth Kingdom soldiers from the other side and flank them. He told off that guy, and that's how he got his scar. No good deed goes unpunished. That's what Zuko is. And finally, he learns the error of his ways, and he moves on and becomes a great Fire Lord. So, thank you for listening. I hope that this got you into Avatar. I know I said spoilers. You're probably not listening to it if you haven't watched it, but it's a great show. I highly recommend it. It's just great. It just really is. So, thank you so much for listening. This is Eric Gibson signing off.